Bibles to Jeremiah in chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. So thankful to God for this occasion we have and this time where we can once again gather to sing praises to Him, to petition the Lord in prayer, and to study another portion of His will. Hope that all that are here have come certainly for that purpose, that we might spend time in God's book, that we might learn, that we might see what God would have us to do. We've been studying from the book of Jeremiah here during this week, and we're going to go to Jeremiah 26, 27, and 28. A sermon I've simply entitled Jeremiah versus Hananiah. And as you look into that section of Scripture, we're going to do this a little different perhaps than some of the other sermons, only from the standpoint that we're going to spend a lot of time looking in these chapters first and then make the applications later. Some of the other sermons we've had, we've kind of looked at one verse. We looked at the context, but then we kind of focused on one verse and learned what we could from one verse or a couple of verses. And now we're going to go the other way. And so we're going to look at a whole bunch of verses and see the big picture, if you will. As Judah continues to fall and to continue further and further and further into sin. We noted last time that at this point, Babylon is coming. At this point, there's no turning back. And he had told them, Jeremiah had said, to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is a good way, and walk therein, he shall find rest for your souls. And they said, we will not walk therein, chapter 6, 16. And then we saw in chapter 9, what the Lord had for them and the way they needed to focus, and the problem was they weren't focusing there. They were glorying in the wrong things. As you come into chapter 26 and 27 and 28 of the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see here that as Jehoiakim began to reign, this is the time when God called for Jeremiah to go and to stand in the court of the Lord's house. And what he's going to do in Jeremiah chapter 26 is to cry out, and he says, you're going to preach the words that I command thee, verse 2, that I command thee to speak to them, and diminish not a word. You're going to say exactly what I tell you to say. You're going to say only what I tell you to say. You're not going to back up. You're not going to compromise. You're not going to sugarcoat this. You're not going to change my words. You're going to say exactly what I say and diminish not. That means don't take one word away. That's what I expect of you, Jeremiah. And so if they would hearken, verse 3, and turn every man from his evil way, I may repent of the evil that I purpose to do to them. And he says, but if you do this and they don't, then I'm going to go ahead and punish them. We talked last night a little bit about God's long suffering, that it does have an end finally. But I want you to notice in Jeremiah 26, God still puts one more chance, one more option. If you'll repent, I can still turn this around. Well, he goes in, Jeremiah does, and says, thus saith the Lord, verse 4. He there, verse 4 and 5, hearken to the words of my servant the prophets. He says, who sent you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. You haven't listened to them. And then will I make my house, make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words. So what has God said? He said, you're going to go in and you're going to tell them, if you'll not listen to me, to walk in my law, you're not going to listen, you're not going to do what the Lord says, I'm going to make this place like Shiloh. In other words, it's going to be completely destroyed. I'm going to make this place, this city, a curse. You need to understand, to say things like that was very offensive. And it upset them very badly. And the reason I know that is what comes next. When it come to pass, when Jeremiah made an end of this, verse 8, when he made an end of these things, the prophets and priests came to him and said, thou shalt surely die. So the intention was that these words be preached, and when the words are preached, the people would repent and turn from this. Kind of like in the days of Jonah. Jonah goes into the city of Nineveh, and says, 30 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And he goes into that place preaching the word of the Lord. The exact thing. Read Jonah 3 verse 1. Preaching the word of the Lord to those people. And when that happened, the people of Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. From the king all the way down. And you see the right response. These people hear the word of the Lord, and when they do, they say, you're going to die. We're going to kill you. That's what you deserve. You talk about rebellion, folks, right here it is. You deserve to die. Literally. You know the old saying that says, if you don't like the message, you know, don't kill the messenger if you don't like the message. You know, I'm just the messenger here. Don't kill the messenger if you don't like the message, because I'm just telling you what someone else told me, kind of thing. This is literally going to happen. This is their plan. We're going to kill you because we don't like what you said. We're going to kill you because you said something that we find offensive. And I think about that today, even in our time period. How many people are going that direction, and something offends me, something makes me upset, something makes me sad, and therefore you can't talk like that. How many people are becoming offended, quote unquote? You can become offended over anything if you're not careful. And that's kind of the society we're turning into. How long is it before people say, you offended me, so I'm going to kill you? You know what? And I think, well, that would offend me, you know. If I say something to offend you and you kill me, then that offends me too. So now what are we going to do? But nevertheless, that's where these people are. Why have you prophesied this way, they ask. And so as you continue to read, there's fury over these reactions. So Jeremiah, verse 12, speaks to the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hand. Do with me what seems good and meet or fitting for you. But know for certain, if you put me to death, you'll surely bring innocent blood upon yourself, on this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. So here's Jeremiah responding to this and saying, listen, the Lord has spoken to me and told me what to say, and here's what I'm going to tell you. Amend your ways and your doing. In other words, you need to get yourself fixed. You need to get right with God. That's what needs to happen. You need to fix what's going on. You need to correct your errors. You talk about bravery right here, folks. This is bravery. He stands up in the house of the Lord and cries out against him. When the crowd comes and the priests and those folks come up and they say, you deserve to die, and brings him before the rulers, and he says, all right, well, let me tell you again what I said. This is what needs, and then understand something. You can change. That's the beauty of this. Here's, if you'll listen to the voice of God and repent of what you've done, this doesn't have to happen. But know for certain, if you put me to death, I mean, you put me to death. In other words, you can kill me and it's not going to change the message. We're going to learn a little different version of that tomorrow night, Lord willing, with Jehoiakim and his penknife. You can cut God's Word up all day long, but at the end of the day, God's Word still says the same thing it has always said. Alright? So you need to make sure and come back for that, because we're going to talk about Jehoiakim, the king himself. But right now, we're just dealing with the underlings, you might say, the other civil authorities and those all under the king and the priests and those folks saying, you need to die. Well, you can go ahead and kill me, but at the end of the day, you can kill me. Now you're going to have innocent blood on your hands, and God's Word still says the same thing it always has. He needs to die, verse 16. Well, this puts them in a quandary then, because they're going, what are we going to do with him? Well, they kind of put their heads together. Here in verse 17 to 24, the elders of the land, and they kind of spoke amongst the people, and they kind of put their heads together, and they said, well, wait a minute. Whenever Josiah was the king, Micah came. Micah, the Moreshite, he came up, and he prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, and he said how that God's going to take and plow under this city. I mean, that's what it means. I'm going to turn it over. I'm going to plow it just like you'd plow a field and turn the dirt over. He said, that's what's going to happen. Read Micah chapter 4. And he said, God's going to do that. Now, when he said that in Josiah's day, Josiah didn't kill him. Okay? So is that setting legal precedent? See, they're going, okay, now let's think about this. Was that legal precedent? Now, when Josiah was the king, now he didn't kill them. Okay. But then the other guys, they said, well, you know, when Jehoiakim was king, though, and a fellow named Urijah, he was a prophet also, and he said things the king didn't like, and he had to hightail it to Egypt. He had to get out of town, and now. And he said, you know, Jehoiakim hunted him down in Egypt and brought him back and killed him. So it's just like they're standing there scratching their heads going, now what are we going to do with him? Kill him or not kill him? But one king, he didn't kill the guy. But then the current king, he hunted a guy down like a dog and brought him back and killed him and threw his body over in the, it says, threw his dead body with the graves of the common people. So, what do we do with him? What are we going to do with Jeremiah? Thankfully, the hand of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, and they didn't get a chance that day. And that's divine providence, by the way. But he was able to live another day. Pretty rough on Jeremiah. Do you see that? He's dealing with a lot of tough characters, and the kicker to the whole thing is, he's not going to Nineveh, and he's not going to Damascus, and he's not going to, you know, somewhere else, and dealing with people that didn't even believe in God or whatever. These are his own people. These are the Jews. These are supposed to have been the children of God. These are the ones that supposed to have known and understood and cared for God and wanted to do his will. And it's those people that are saying, you know what, we just need to kill him. And in trying to figure out, well, which way should we go? Because we know one king did and one king didn't. So what should we... I mean, But that's what happens when people sink lower and lower and lower into sin. And that's what's happened here. Jeremiah stands up, chapter 27, in the beginning of the reign, again, about the same time period. He comes in and he says, the Lord said to me, make bonds and yokes and put them on my neck. He has a yoke on his neck. If you're familiar with a yoke, like a yoke of oxen, you ever seen a yoke? And whether the oxen or they'll have their necks in a yoke, and the point is there that they'll use that so as to pull a plow or to pull whatever. But you got those yokes. Well, he had one, and he put it on his own neck, and he's wearing it basically. Now that'd be an odd sight, wouldn't it? You don't see people wearing yokes necessarily, and he was. They said, but another thing I want you to do is make a bunch more yokes, and I want you to send some yokes out to the different nations. He said, to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of Ammonite, king of Tyre, the king of Sidon, and by the hands of the messengers which come, he said, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And he said, I want you to send these out. I command them unto thy masters, he says, and you'll say, I have made the earth and the man, the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power, by my outstretched arm, have I given it and what seems meet to me. And now I have given all these lands to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have given to serve him. All nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. So it's interesting, and you'll see this often, that God's promising before Nebuchadnezzar gets there in full force. Before he gets there in full force. And has completely, because you remember he went down in three different bands. You know that, three different groups. Until finally with the third group, finally Jerusalem is wiped out and that's the end. So before all this, and all this is coming full force, before all this, he says, Babylon's going to come, he's going to take you over, you're going to lose. You're going to be his servants. And by the way, then there's going to be a time when this will be reversed, and he'll be the one to suffer, his nation. And that's exactly what happened. When you read the book of Daniel, you'll see that happened just that way, between Daniel chapter 1 through Daniel chapter, actually the end of chapter 5. Daniel chapter 6 starts Daniel with a whole new kingdom, the Medes and the Persians. And so just in that time period of the book of Daniel, you see what he went through. Well, it's the same idea here. He's just promising it before it actually came to pass. He said, but here's what needs to happen. You need to submit to him. And you need to do what he says. And the best thing for you to do is just serve Nebuchadnezzar and just write it out. You know, grit your teeth, deal with it, because it's going to be the best thing for you. Well, don't listen to the prophets, nor the diviners, nor the dreamers, nor anyone who says you shall not serve the king, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, verse 10, and I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon to serve him, those I'll let them remain. You talk about something politically correct, here it is. He says the best thing for us to do is just give up. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to hear? What do you think if something was going on, and well, there are a lot of things going on, but what do you think if Donald Trump got on the TV tonight or in the morning and said, you know what, the best thing for us to do is just give up and let North Korea just have it. And they can just have whatever, and they can, if they want to overpower us, the best thing for us to do is just let North Korea take over our country. What would you think of that? Say, oh my. Who has gotten to him? The enemy has gotten to him. He's drank the Kool-Aid. They give him the serum or whatever it is else is the latest conspiracy theory. Oh my. How un-American. He just said, give up. He said, we just need to give in to North Korea and just we'll be better off. Can you imagine that? See, I can't fathom that. That's what Jeremiah said, essentially. God said, the best thing for you to do is just give up and let him have it. And if you want to live and you want to survive and you want to thrive in this, you just need to give up. Can you see why they'd be upset? This goes counterintuitive to anything you would have ever thought of as a subject, as a citizen of Israel, of Judah, I should say, Jerusalem. Give up our temple. Give up the holy city. This is the city of David. This is David's throne. This is where Solomon was. You're saying give that all up? Are you crazy? You're in bed with the Babylonians. You are a spy. There's something wrong here because you would say such a thing. But that's exactly what God was saying through Jeremiah, you need to do. I spake, he said, to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, according to all these words. Verse 12. Bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and live. Why will you die and your people by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? See that? Why will you die? Just do what the Lord has said. Don't listen. Verse 14 again. Don't listen to the words of prophets that speak to you saying you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Then they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. They prophesy and lie in my name that I might drive you out, that you might perish. And the prophets prophesy, the prophets that prophesy that to you. He said, I spake to the priest and all the people. And I told him all these things. And he said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to these prophets. Don't listen to these people. They're lying to you. Don't listen to that which you're hearing right now. From these people, from these false prophets and such. Well, he says, if they're prophets and if the word of the Lord be with them, verse 18, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah in Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. Like I said, Babylon came down in three pitches. And so they've come down once, and they're going to come down, and that's what he's talking about. He said, if you think that's going to happen, you need to have those prophets intercede on behalf of the people to the Lord that Babylon doesn't come down and take the rest of the stuff that they didn't get the first time. That's what needs to happen. Thus saith the Lord, he said, they shall be carried to Babylon, verse 22, and there they shall be till I visit them and I'll bring them up. And again, it's going to be there. Well, we know from other passages, we know it's going to be 70 years captivity. That's what's coming. Isn't this something? It came to pass in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Hananiah came. Now remember, he'd had, here's Jeremiah, now here comes Hananiah. Now Hananiah did not say, this is not going to happen. He wasn't saying, oh, Jeremiah, he's got it all wrong and we'll never be bothered. And we'll... What he said was this. Within two full years, verse 3, will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar took away. I'll bring again to the place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, and all the captives of Judah that went to Babylon, saith, that would be Daniel, by the way. That's where Daniel comes in. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And then the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, in the presence of all the people, the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. What? Yeah. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels that all is carried away. He's kind of got a streak of Elijah in him. That's what that is. That's being sarcastic right there. Nevertheless, hear now the words that I speak in your ears and in the ears of the people. The prophets have been before me, before thee of old, prophesied against many countries and against many kingdoms of war and evil and pestilence. He says, the prophet that prophesied of peace when the word of the prophet came to pass, then shall the prophet be known. In other words, this is what he's saying. We'll find out who's telling the truth when it comes to pass. You know, that's the sign of a prophet. Look in the book of Deuteronomy. A true prophet is somebody who, when he prophesies something, it comes to pass. Either he prophesies something and it doesn't happen or it won't happen, that's a false prophet. That's a false teacher. You need to ignore him, and in fact, they put him to death. So he said, here's Hananiah making this. Oh yeah, I wish it would be so. Let's just see if it doesn't happen. Let's just see if this doesn't go just the way Hananiah had said and Hananiah had done. Well, about that time, Hananiah got so mad that he jerked that yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it. Oh, he was upset. But he had to make a point because he had to look good. If I'm going to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar just like I broke the yoke off of Jeremiah just now. The Bible says Jeremiah went his way. In other words, I'm not going to say anything right now. If you believe a lie and you're convinced that you're going to believe a lie and you're convinced that you're going to be foolish and you're going to walk in a way that you shouldn't go and you insist on going, then you're going to have to go by yourself. Jeremiah went his way. But it wasn't long after that that Jeremiah does come back and he spoke to the prophet, to Hananiah. And God said to him, go and tell Hananiah, thus saith the Lord, you have broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Because they will serve King Nebuchadnezzar, they shall serve him as I have given him the beasts of the field also. And then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, listen, the Lord has not sent you, he has, but you make the people trust in a lie. Therefore, verse 16, I will cast thee from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you taught rebellion against the Lord. And you know what happened? Hananiah died that year. In other words, we know who the true prophet is because the prophet said something and it came to pass. What did the prophet say? The prophet said, Hananiah, you're dead. And that's exactly what happened. As you look at this whole picture here, you're seeing, understand, this has not happened over the course of a day or two. Please understand, this has taken some time to develop, though we read these incidents there in those three chapters. And it all flows together because it's all about the same subject. But please understand, this has gone from the reign of Jehoiakim to the reign of Zedekiah finally. And so it's taken place over several years, but again, it's the same subject. What are we going to do about Babylon? What's going to happen with this situation with Babylon? And that's what we see. What can I learn from this? What can I learn from this, these three chapters? But I suggest to you, first of all, the thing we need to learn is, number one, like Jeremiah, our responsibility, number one, is diminish not a word. That was what God told him in Jeremiah 26 and verse 2. Diminish not a word. Do not subtract from my word. Do not alter my word. Just say what I tell you to say. Now that was said in Jeremiah 26 and verse 2. But understand, Jeremiah lived that anyways, but he lived it all through this incident, this time period. He lived it all that time. And friends, listen, that's what we need to do. We need to be a people who speak the Lord's Word as is, regardless of the consequences. And I'm going to tell you something else. We must be a people who demand that God's Word be spoken in a pure and upright way. We need to demand that in our Bible classes. We need to demand that in the preaching. We need to demand that in any aspect of learning or teaching God's Word that we have, that we demand. Now listen, I'm saying demand on purpose. There's a difference between demanding something and tolerating something. You know that, don't you? There's a big difference between that. And I think a lot of times we'll find people who will tolerate sound doctrine. They'll tolerate a lot of things. You know, I'll tolerate a bunch of things if I know that it's going to end pretty soon. You know what? I can do that. That's a lot of times why some people tolerate my meetings, because they're going, yeah, I know this will be over pretty soon. Yeah, Friday, come on Friday. Come on Friday. Yeah, when do we get Lynn back in the pulpit? All right, here it is. We can tolerate a lot of things so long as I know it's going to end pretty soon. But what do you demand? See that? Do you demand sound doctrine? Do you demand that God's Word be preached and taught and read and everything else? Just tell me what the Lord says. Just tell me what that is and leave the rest alone. See, that's what needs to happen. That's what needed to happen then and needs to happen today. In 1 Peter 4 verse 11, what did he say? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Remember that? If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Remember? What are we supposed to say? Not only 1 Peter 4:11, Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19, when he said, if any man add to the words that are written in this book, remember what he's going to do? I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone take away from the things that's written in this book, I will take away your place from the book of life. See? If you do not add to and do not take from. Now he's talking about that from the book of Revelation. Jump to the book of Deuteronomy, and he says the same thing to the Old Testament people. Don't add to, don't take from. Well, think about it, friend. If I can't add to God's Word, and I can't take from God's Word, then what can I do? What else is there? I remember a little girl asked that question one time, and a little girl about 3 years old said, just leave it alone. I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. And if a little one can get it, why can't the big ones get it? If you can't add to and you can't take from, you just got to leave it alone. That's what we have to remember. Just do and follow what the Lord says. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, whenever the apostles were threatened, their very lives were threatened, and they were threatened with jail time at this point, but their lives would be threatened very soon. Acts chapter 4, 18 to 20, and they said, they told the Sanhedrin, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And they're saying, you don't preach Jesus anymore. Don't preach Jesus. Don't talk about Him. You are intent on bringing this man's blood on our heads, he said in chapter 5. But in chapter 4, 18 to 20, they said, we cannot speak but what we've seen and heard. In other words, we cannot diminish. We have to just say what we know. Friends, that has to be. And that's something that I need to demand. Are we fulfilling that responsibility to diminish not a word when we're at work? Whenever you're at work and I have opportunity to tell someone about the Lord, do I diminish then? Do I back up? Do I just give a partial answer? Do I not give the whole thing? What happens there? Think about it. Whenever we're among our friends and talking to them, and as we're talking to our friends, spiritual matters come up at different times. Number one, do I bring it up? That's a good question. Do I bring up spiritual matters and talk about spiritual things? Number two is, whenever I do I diminish? Do I back up? Do I hold back and say, I don't want to talk about it? I want to get real deep into this. Or will we just say and tell folks just what God says? Think about it. I don't know about you, but the more I'm around folks and the more I see and the more I talk to folks, the more I see folks who appreciate you just saying what it is. I'm not saying you have to be rude and unkind, but if somebody says, well, what does the Bible say? I say, well, here it is. Let's read it. Let's just read it for ourselves. There it is. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take from it. Right there is what the verse says. You read it. And then if you want to get mad at somebody, you can get mad at God because He's the one that said it. But don't diminish a word. What about when we're with family? What about then? Will I diminish not a word even when it makes people furious? See, that's what happened with Jeremiah. And I'm not trying to say that this is easy. I'm saying, will we do it? See? And it's a hard thing whenever you're sitting there talking to somebody and they say this to you, and they say, well, I don't care what you say, I'm never going to believe that. And all you did was read a verse to them. And they say that to you. Now what do? You don't say, well, if you don't believe that, well, how about something else? Is that what you're going to do? Well, let me see if I can't find another way to say this that'll make it a little more palatable to you. Tell me what you will believe. And I'll see if I can't find that in the Bible. No. You just got to stand up, and I've got to stand up and just appreciate the song because it goes right with our study tonight. Stand like Joshua. I've got to be able to stand, and even if it makes people furious, they need to know I'm not furious. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. But I'm going to tell you exactly what the Lord says, and I've got to stand on that. That's all I can do. And that's what we need to remember. As in Jeremiah's case and countless other cases, you never know who the honest soul is until you present them with God's Word. Did you notice this unsung hero down here in Jeremiah 26, verse 24? Did you notice a little unsung hero down there named Jehoiakim? What did Jehoiakim do? Oh, Jehoiakim didn't do anything except save Jeremiah's neck. You think he might have risked something doing that? You think there might have been some risk in putting his neck on the line to save somebody else's neck? I think so. And so you never know who you can influence. You never know who it is that's listening until you put it out there. And let folks know that you are going to just say what God says and leave it at that. You know what? If the Word is not planted and the Word is not watered, is there any wonder why we're not having an increase? You got to plant the seed and you got to water it, 1 Corinthians 3:6, in order to get an increase. But whenever I plant the seed, I've got to plant the pure seed. Now I'm going to go back to diminish not a word. You got to plant the pure seed. You got to plant the complete seed, the whole thing. And then we can talk about there coming a harvest and an increase. But friends, the seed doesn't plant itself. You know that? I'll ask like Haggai did one time, is the seed yet in the barn? If the seed's in the barn, it's not going to do you any good. Because like I said, the seed doesn't plant itself. Luke chapter 8 tells us that the sower went forth to sow seed. And then the seed could do its good because once it's out and it's sown, now we can talk about an increase. But that's got to happen. Let me ask you something. How do we handle, number two, how do we handle liars? You know, there were liars in Jeremiah's day. False teachers. and are liars today. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 says that even as there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Remember that? The promise and just the statement. There was false prophets, there's false teachers back then, and there's false teachers today. There's people that's lying. There's people who lie. First of all, there's people who lie and say there is no God. They do that, don't they? Psalm 14 verse 1 says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's people who lie to you. There's people who teach false doctrine and false things and say that God doesn't exist. That there is no God. They can't look around at the beauty of this world, of the intricacies of space, of the just even of the human body itself. And all the workings there. Or the various things of life. Animals. The fish. And so forth. And all the sweeping movements of all that is such a poetry. And it's such there's an order to it. There's not randomness. It's not chaos. There's an order to it all. You know that? You cannot have a builder, though. You cannot have a building without a builder. Can you? You cannot have a building of some sort without an architect. Someone had to think of that. Somebody had to invent that somehow. You know that? Now, I don't know who's responsible for building this building. Maybe you do. I know some people that claim they had a part in it some years ago. But I don't know. I don't have any idea. But would it be a wise thing for me to say that somebody or some group of people took part in building this building that exists and we're inside right now? Or would it be wiser for me to say, you know what, I think this thing just popped up like a mushroom one afternoon. Here it is. Or would it have been wise to me to say, you know what happened? There was over at the building supply house, there was an explosion one day. And it exploded and blew up in all the parts and pieces and nails and boards and bricks and electrical wire and all of that just blew up in the air one day. And it landed over here in this open field. And after a while, everything started crawling together. And it took about 1,500, 2,000 years. And then here's the building. You say, you're crazy. There's no way that's true. All right. Well, if we recognize that with small things like buildings or cars or a watch you're wearing or an iPod or iPhone or a Fitbit or whatever else you can think of, and you say men were responsible for that and they made it and all that. Well, if I can understand that, why can't we say, you know, somebody, there has to be some intelligence that's made something like the world. That's made something like the universe. Psalm 19 and verse 1, behold, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That's the truth. Acts 17:24 says that God, He said, who made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. My friends, sometimes people lie to you and tell you there is no God, they're wrong. Sometimes people lie to you among the denominations and they'll say, well, just join the church of your choice. Well, that's a false doctrine too. Join the church of your choice. Wait a minute. If I open up my Bible and begin to read and study, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church. Not I will build my churches. Plural, singular. I will build my church. M-Y. My is possession. It means it's His. No one else's. My church. That's one church. I will build mine. It's His. So if I understand that, then how can I say, well, yeah, but there's a church over here and over here and over here. And you just choose the church of your choice. Why don't we choose the church of God's choice for a change? Why don't we do that? Since He chose one already, why don't we make the same decision He made? But people will do this. They'll try to tell you that faith only saves. That's another false doctrine. That's another lie. Faith only saves you. Yet the Bible doesn't teach that faith only saves anybody. You know it? James chapter 2 and verse 24 tells us, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The only time in the Bible where you're going to read the two words faith only together in a sentence, and the Bible says it's not so. Not by faith only. That's the only place in the Bible you'll read faith only, and He says it's not. And so why do I accept something that the Bible doesn't even teach? It's kind of like going back to Jeremiah. And these people, oh no, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. Don't worry about old Babylon, everything will be okay. And Jeremiah's standing there going, why are you accepting what they say? And that's not even what the Lord taught. The Lord said, brace yourself, it's coming. Because you people will not repent. There are liars there that talk about, we're too legalistic. You're too unloving. You're unloving people. We ought to talk about the whole man. We ought to talk about things like that. And 2 John 9 tells us that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Listen, let's be just as narrow as the Bible. Don't diminish. See that? Be just as narrow as the Bible. You need to be just as open as the Bible is too. I'm not saying that you don't. You be as open as the Bible, but you need to be as narrow as the Bible too. And whenever He says that you transgress, that means to go beyond. Don't do that. Don't do that. See? 2 John 9 is just like saying you're fenced in by God's Word. Whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond. And abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Why? Because it's within this relationship that you have God and that you have Christ. It's within this setting right here that it's so. But you leave that and you just left God. That's a fact. Don't leave God. Don't turn away from God. Stay within the parameters of His will. That's what I need to remember. See that? Let's make sure that we are not listening to the lies. And by the way, let's know how to handle the liars too. How do you handle them? Sometimes you got to do like Jeremiah and just walk away. And he did walk away for a time. But he didn't walk away and just let them run and just tell their lies unanswered. But at the moment, we saw that a moment ago. At that moment in chapter 27, he had just to walk away for a minute. But he came back later and he said, whenever Hananiah said, oh, it'll be 2 years. He said, oh, amen to that. Yeah, I hope you're right. By the way, let's just find out if you're right. Yeah. Whenever a prophet says something, it's going to come true. Let's just see what one comes through. Will we listen to God's Word? Proverbs 10 and verse 8. This is my last point, I promise. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. Will we listen to God's Word? Proverbs 10 and verse 8 says this. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. I want to tell you something. If that doesn't describe Jeremiah 26, 27, 28, I don't know what does. The wise in heart receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. And what was all those priests, all those prophets, Hananiah included in this? And what were those folks? They were prating around, prating fools. They strutted. They denied the Lord. They denied His will. They called for Jeremiah's death. They did everything in their power except obey. And Jeremiah, the whole time, that message never changed for years. And let me tell you something before I get too far away from this. That's one thing that you can tell when you've heard the truth. It's because the truth is never going to change. You know it? The truth will be the truth and it'll be the same message. It's going to be the same message whether you're 9 or 90. And if you hear God's Word from age 9 to age 90, you're going to still hear the same message. It's not going to be a message that changes down through the decades. you're going to get the same message. And so, when Jeremiah speaks, he keeps giving them the same message. This is it. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Will we listen? The Jews didn't listen to the warnings, and they were taken into captivity. And I want to tell you something, my friends. Today, we have the same options. We have the options of listening to God's Word, or you have the options of rejecting God's Word. So I'm going to tell you something. If you reject God's Word, the consequences are far greater than Babylon or North Korea or any other country, China or anyone else, coming and overpowering this land. The consequences for rejecting God's Word is not slavery to another nation, but it is an eternity in a devil's hell. That's what it is. You don't want that, and I don't want it either. So let's make sure we listen to the words of God. Remember Matthew 7, 24 to 27, when He talked about the wise builder and the foolish builder? You remember them? The wise man, He says, is the one who heard God's Word and did what the Lord said. It's just like building his house on the rock, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it stood, for it was founded upon a rock. But when the foolish, he heard, but he didn't do it. And so whenever he built his house on the sand or the ground, the book of Luke says, on the ground, on the sand, Matthew 7, the rains descended, floods came, winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. There was no foundation. There was nothing. Friends, there's only two ways we can go. Matthew 7 tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. He said, "Enter in at the wide gate, a narrow gate." He said, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." He said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." And so here, if you can imagine this being a highway, you think about a super highway. You think about I-44 down through here. And you've got one side, and many can go that way, and many can do their thing. But whenever they do, they go to destruction. "But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life," He says. Here's life over here. Straight is, that's just what we're describing right here. It's not a straight line, but it's a difficult way to navigate. You know what? I thought we had some Navy men in here, or at least some Navy brats in here. And you might be familiar with the term straight. Straits of Magellan, Bering Strait, Hudson Strait. You might be familiar with those. If you're familiar with those, it doesn't mean a straight line. It means there's a place that's difficult to navigate. You get through it, you can get through it, you're okay. But it's hard to navigate. That's like this. "The straight and the narrow way leads to life. The broad way," He says, "leads to destruction over here." You don't want to go that way. Will we listen to God's Word? That Word hadn't changed. And so, don't be like those in Jeremiah's day. Don't be like those Hananiah and those other prophets and those folks who denied, who fought against, who said, "Oh, there's a better way. We don't want to hear this kind of talk. We don't want to hear these things. We just want to hear what tickles our ears and makes us feel good." Don't do that. Listen to what the Lord says. And even tonight, as we think about the Lord's plan of salvation, even tonight, the Lord has made all things possible for you. If you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can be a Christian. You can be a child of God. And you can serve and follow Him, be faithful to Him, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, to follow in His will, to be faithful, and not to diminish or go to the right hand or to the left, but walk the straight and narrow way that leads to life. Maybe you've done those things initially, but you've fallen away. And you've listened maybe to people's lies and falsehoods. And you need to get out of that. Or maybe it is you just didn't like the message. You said, "That's too narrow. That's too narrow. That's too hard." No, I've got to stay within this to be with God. So I can't say it's too narrow. I got to get right with the Lord. Whatever the case may be, but if you need to return to the Lord, you need to repent of what you've done, to confess those things and pray God to forgive you, we stand ready and willing to help you in that. Whatever the case may be, to become a Christian or to return to the Lord tonight, whatever the case may be, you can make your way forward right now while we stand and sing.